turns to 1 John chapter 3. And the title of our message this morning is, How Can I Better Relate to God as My Father? How can I better relate to God as my Father? Many people know that God is a Father, but very few relate to Him as my Father. You got to make it yours. He is your Father, and you are His child. Some time ago, I came across an article that was published in a local newspaper about the campaign that DCF, the Department of Children and Families, is unveiled to attract more adopted parents for children. And it says there in the article that the Department of Children and Families hopes that a campaign geared at attracting potential adopted parents will mean an end to foster care for 300 fatherless children in Broward County. Did you hear that? That is 300 fatherless children that have been abandoned by their own parents for whatever reason and left to the care of the state in foster homes. And these children, the article says, that on an average, they stay in the state care for up to 2 years. And I was thinking, how sad must be the life of these children who have been abandoned by their own parents to the care of strangers that might not even care for them after all. As a matter of fact, the article reports that the department agreed recently to pay $5 million to 6 Broward County siblings who were starved, abused, and molested in foster care. What am I saying? That the state of being fatherless is devastating. Not having a loving father or a loving father, mother that cares for us, that loves us and protects us, must be very hard. And church, sadly, this is a fatherless generation. One of the things that the enemy is doing in this nation especially is to come against marriage, to destroy families, to destroy the structure that God has established in His word for the raising of healthy children in this world. And sadly, this is a fatherless generation. And a great number of people have grown up not knowing, not having a father figure in their lives. But God does not only want you to know Him as God. God does not only want you to know Him as Savior and Healer, even though He is all that. God also wants you to know Him as your Father. His aim is to have a sonship relationship with you. And the question is, do you really know Him in this capacity? Psalm 68 verse 5 says that He is a father to the fatherless. I love that about my God. And a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. Today, I want to share with you that God is a great father, and is a father that can heal you, that can care for you, and can raise you up from whatever place you are in life. But you need to take His hand. You need to walk with Him. You need to trust Him with any problem, any situation that you have this day. You see, all people are important to God. How many of us can say amen to that? Regardless of your race, regardless of your gender, regardless of your economic status, regardless of what we look like on the outside, all people are important to God. Amen. But at the same time, something that I see as I study the Bible, that fatherless people have a special place in the heart of God. Amen. And today, I want us to look at how God becomes our Father And how can we relate to him as our Father? The first thing that I want us to understand is that the Father's love is the means by which we are called his children. Love is the means by which sonship is accomplished. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, if you want to turn there with me this morning, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." A perfect translation of the Greek in that passage reads, "What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, in order that, we should be called the sons of God." God does not only want you to hear about his marvelous love for you. Yes, God loves you with an amazing love. But he also wants you to know the glorious end to which it has been given to us. And it's this: God loves you in order that we should be called his sons and his daughters. I have always heard the expression that father or mother is not really who conceives a child. See, conception is like any other biological function, really, if you think about it. So father or mother is not really who conceives a child. But father is the one who loves. Father is the one who cares for that child, who is present in the life of that child, is the one who raises that child, is the one who is willing to be up all night in order to attend the fever of a baby, is the one that makes time no matter what, no matter how busy life is, that always makes time to spend time with his or her children. Because being a father is more than a biological function. Being a father, being a parent, is really all about loving that child in actions. By being present in the child's life, spending time with them, caring for them until they become adults. And really, true parents never stop being parents. Your child can be 40, 50 years old and you still deal with them like a little kid. Protecting that child, loving that child, always giving advice to that child, even though many times they do not want to hear it. See, is God's love the means by which he becomes our father? He promises always to be with us. He promises to take care of our needs. He promises to protect us from the evil and difficult situations in life. God gives his awesome love in Jesus Christ. And all the gifts that live in him, such as the gift of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3 verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son Jesus, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." All this bestowal of God's love has one end, church, which God deems worthy of giving us the life of his only son, that we, in a very real way, in a very practical way, become his children. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 in the Message Bible says it in an awesome way. Look what it says: "What marvelous love the Father has extended to us." Just look at it. Are you able to see the love of God in your life? Are you able to see the love of God manifested in every situation and in every circumstance of your life? Just look at it, he says. We are called children of God. That's who we really are. You might have had a hard past. You might have come from a very painful background. But I'm telling you today, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and everything all has passed away in your life. And today you have a new identity, and your identity is that you are a son of the living God and you are a daughter of the living God. That is who you are, church. There is no other reality. There is no other truth for you. The Father's love is of incredible quality. You will never find a love like the love of your Father. Some of us might be blessed with a wonderful spouse, but as much as your spouse might love you, they might never love you the way your Father loves you. You might have a wonderful family. You might have the blessing of having loving parents, but as much as they love us, they will never love us the way that Christ and our Heavenly Father loves us. The Amplified Version says in 1 John chapter 3 verse 1, see what an incredible quality of love the Father has given us, that we should be named and called and counted the children of God. An incredible quality of love. To understand this kind of love, we need to turn to the cross this morning. We need to see the love of God in the cross and in the suffering of Jesus Christ. We see there a love, an incredible love, that is willing to sacrifice everything for us. We see a love that is willing to go to hell, that is willing to suffer the torment of hell, the darkness of hell, for you and I. Romans chapter 5 verse 6 and 8 says it this way in the Message Bible. Christ arrives on the time that make this happen. He didn't. And he doesn't wait for us to get ready. You don't have to live all together to come to the presence of your Father. You must come to him as you are. He presented himself for this sacrificial death. When we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. You can do nothing to fix your life. You can do absolutely nothing to be delivered from the power of hell and sin. And then he says, even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what way to do it anyway. What an incredible love the love of the Father is. As we look at the cross, we see a love that is not put away by our sinfulness. We see a love that is not put away by the weaknesses in me. Oh, how fragile the human love is. There's people that tell you, and maybe some of us, how many of us have we heard that promise in our lives? I will never stop loving you. I will never stop being there for you. But the moment that you are weak with something, the moment that you make a mistake, the moment that you don't meet whatever their expectations is, oh, how weak and fragile the human love is. It stops loving. But the love of God, what an incredible love it is. When I look at the cross, I see a love that pours out its best on the unworthy. I see a love that gives its best to the weak people, to the sinful people of the world. I see a love that is willing to give its best to the outcast, to those that have been rejected by society, by the world system. A love that expects no repayment, but a love that is willing to take whatever poor affection we can give to him. I see a love that desires the best for you, that desires the best for me. I see a love that longs to see itself reflected in our own life and in our own hearts. I see the cross. And I see Jesus dying there for you and I, suffering a horrible death for you and I. And I understand then the incredible love that the Father has bestowed upon you and me. Do you know that love? Have you received that love in your life? Are you able to say, Jesus is not only my God, Jesus is not only my Savior, but Jesus is also mine, my Father? Amen. Second, the Father's love is the means by which we are adopted into his family. is the means by which we are adopted into his family. God has adopted us into his family. The church was never designed by Jesus Christ to operate as an institution or a dead organization. The church is the family of God here on earth. And the moment that we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ and we are able to receive the love of God, we are adopted into the family of God. This church is your family. I am your family and you are my family. There must be nothing that separates us in the kingdom of God. Because we all have the same Father. We all have the same spiritual DNA. We all have been washed and purchased by the same blood. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, John often uses the expression, children of God. In John chapter 13, verse 33, he says, little children, yet a little while, and I am with you. So John uses the expression, children of God. But the Apostle Paul, on the other hand, very seldom uses children, but almost always says sons of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, he says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or the daughters of God. You see, they express different points of view from which they speak about the same thing. According to the Webster Dictionary, children is one who is the product of another. We all are the children of a human being. I would hope so. We all are the product of another. But however, the word son or daughter is very unique and special. Because that word is one who is adopted into a family. Sadly, the majority of humanity is somebody's children. But there are very few sons and daughters in this world that has been raised by a godly or caring family. We are not only the children of God, church, in the sense that now we have his nature in us and his spirit is within us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But God also is calling us his sons and daughters. In the sense that he has adopted us into his family and we are part of the family of God here and now. I want to speak to those that are feeling lonely, that are feeling a void in your heart, especially during this season. You don't need to feel alone because the Father is with you. The love of the Father is with you. And more than anything, this church is not a dead institution. This church is now your family. You will find fathers in this place. You will find spiritual mothers in this place. You're going to find brothers and sisters in this place because we are the family of God here on earth. God also calls us his sons and daughters. Galatians chapter 5 verse 5 says, to redeem them that under the law, that we may receive the adoption of sons. You see, family is the most important influence in a child's life. You see, it is important to have a good education for our children. Teachers play a very important role in the life of our children. Youth pastors and children pastors play a very important role in the life of our children. But none of them can ever exercise the influence that parents and family have on children. Why? Because family, the family structure, is the most important influence in the life of a child. From the first moments of life, children depend on parents and family to protect them, to provide for them, and to care for their needs. Parents and family form a first relationship in the life of a child. Fathers and mothers are a child's first teacher, and they act as role models in how to act and how to experience the world around them. That's why individuals that were not raised by a healthy and godly father or a healthy or godly mother, they have a wound in their souls that follows them all throughout their life. But I believe that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is here to heal us this morning. Amen. There are a number of people that are somebody's children, that carry somebody's last name and DNA, but they are not necessarily sons and daughters because they have not been adopted into a loving and caring family. But God has sent his incredible gift of love to us, not only to make us into his image, not only to save us from the power of hell and sin, but to adopt us into his family. So that way we can become now the sons and the daughters of the living God. There is a great void in a person's life in the absence of a loving family. That's one of the things that the devil attacks the most is marriage. One of the things that the devil attacks the most is the family structure, especially in this nation. The devil has an agenda in this nation right now to attack marriage as God has instituted, to attack the family structure as God has called it. Because children that are raised outside of a healthy family structure, outside of the love and the care that godly parents can provide, they raise and they have a void in their heart. They have a void in their lives. A void that is felt so deeply that it breaks the heart. And sadly, there is countless number of people who feel this void. You might be feeling this void here this morning. But just because you grew up in a dysfunctional home, just because you didn't have a godly or a loving father or a loving mother that love you and care for you the way God calls it, that doesn't mean that you have to keep feeling this way in life. That doesn't mean that you have to continue to be a victim and to continue to be bound to the pain and to the bad experiences of your life. Today, you can choose to turn to your Father in heaven, who loves you with an everlasting love, who died on the cross for you, so that today you can find true love in Jesus Christ. And although your earthly family may have abandoned you, although your earthly family may have left you feeling distant and alone, your Father in heaven will never do that. Your Father in heaven will never stop loving you. Your Father in heaven will never reject you when you come into his presence through the blood of Jesus. But rather, your heavenly Father promises to fill you with his love. And he welcomes you into his eternal family, the Church of Jesus Christ here on earth. There are no orphans in the house of God. There are no orphans in the kingdom of God. You have a heavenly Father that loves you. And through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, there are spiritual fathers. There are spiritual mothers in this church through with the love of Christ wants to reach out your life. Are you open to it? Are you open to receive it? John chapter 15 verse 9 says it this way. As the Father has loved me. Jesus talking. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. And now remain in my love. Remain in the love of Christ. You are going to find healing in the love of Christ. You are going to find freedom and restoration in the love of Jesus Christ. You will finally know who are you supposed to be in the love of Christ. And lastly, the Father's love defines the elements on this, of the sonship relation. Number one, the Father leaves an inheritance to his children. Some of us does not have the privilege of having an inheritance. Some of us, our parents are so broken that the day they go, all they're going to leave us is dead. I was telling the early service that I had a friend of mine whose mother recently died, and she got a call up north, and they told her that she had inherited a house. And she was so happy. She said, finally, I'm going to own a house, especially in South Florida. And when she flew down here, the house was falling apart. And it ended up costing her more money to repair it than what she was blessed with the house. but not the Father. The Father has an inheritance for you that is perfect and has extreme value forever and throughout eternity. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 and 4 says it this way. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Jesus did not only die on the cross to save you from hell, yet that's a big part of his work. But Jesus also died on the cross so that today you can inherit an inheritance from your Father. Did you know that? An inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. The Father has an inheritance for his children. The Father has eternal life for his children. The Father has provision for every single need in your life. The Father has healing for your body. The Father has victory over your enemies. And the Father has a glorified body for you. A body that will never age. A body that will never gain weight. A body that does not struggle with temptation. A body that will always stay young. That is your future. That is your inheritance, if you are willing to receive it in the name of Jesus. And it says there that the inheritance is incorruptible, meaning that it's unable to worn out with the passage of time. It says there that it's undefiled, in meaning that there is nothing that can pollute the inheritance that God has for you. You can have $1 million in the bank, that something can happen to the economy and those $1 million can be taken from you in an instant, but not in the bank of the kingdom of heaven. Your Father is preserving for you an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven that no matter what happens in this world, no matter who is sitting in the White House, nobody can take, nobody can corrupt, and nobody can steal away from you. Number two, the Father disciplines and corrects. In Hebrews chapter 12 verse 7, it says, if you endure chastising, God deals with you as with sons and daughters. For what son or what daughter is there whom a father does not chasten? See, sometimes there's some parents, and I'm going to say this with love, that allow their children to do whatever they want, that give them whatever they want. You are doing them a disfavor. Because when we don't correct and chastise our children in a godly way and in a loving way, they turn out to be very weak, very selfish people in the future. But we have a heavenly Father that corrects us, that disciplines us. Why? Because he loves us. If he sees us going down a path that is going to lead us into destruction, he's going to do everything within his power to stop us from going down that path. Because he wants to protect us from things that can harm us. It's like a child that is playing with matches, and then the father or the mother of that child do not do anything to correct them. But that shows a lack of love, because the fire can cause serious injuries to a child. But a loving father or a loving mother, when they see a child playing with fire, they will correct them. They will spank them if they have them, with a godly spanking, to stop them from being hurt by something that can hurt them. And our heavenly Father loves us so much that when he sees us playing with fire in life, when he sees us playing with matches, he corrects us. Sometimes he gives us woo-woo, and it hurts when he gives us woo-woo. But he does it because he loves us, and he doesn't want us to be hurt. He doesn't want the enemy to steal from us all the blessings that he has for us as our good Father. And he does whatever he does, he needs to do, to stop us from getting hurt. And he raises pastors and leaders in his church, that sometimes we have to take the role of our father and come to the people that are under us and correct you with love, with grace. But the reason that we do that is because we don't want to make life difficult on you. is because correction is a manifestation of the Father's love. Correction is a manifestation of the Father's grace. That when he sees us playing with fire, when he sees us playing with something that is going to burn us and disfigure us spiritually, he will send a pastor. He would send a leader to say to us with grace and love, brother, sister, this that you're doing is not godly, and you better repent before it destroys us. And lastly, the Father protects and cares for his children. In Psalm 23, verse 4, if you want to turn there with me, one of the most beautiful psalms in the Bible, David says, yeah, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no evil. You see, that is an awesome blessing that David is talking about there in the psalm. That we can be going through dangerous situations in life, that we can be going through difficult situations in life, and we will fear no evil. But get a revelation this morning. Christians that only know God and God will fear the evil. But Christians that know God as the Father will not fear the evil when the evil comes. Because they know the love of the Father. Because they know the will of God. Because they know the care of the Father. Because they know that the Father is not going to allow the child to be hurt by anyone that is not of him. We fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I am reminded of the story of a little boy. That he was eager to go to the birthday party of one of his friends who lived only a few blocks away from his house. And when the day of the birthday finally arrived, a blizzard made the sidewalks and the roads nearly impossible to walk and travel. And the father of the boy, sensing the danger, hesitated to let his son go. And the boy reacted tearfully and began to cry, but dad, all the other kids will go. Their parents are allowing them to go. And then the father stopped and he thought for a moment. And then he replied softly to the little boy, all right, I'm going to let you go to the party. And as soon as the little boy heard those words, he bundled up and he plunged into the raging storm. And the driving snow made visibility almost impossible. And it took him more than half an hour to get to the friend's house that was only a few blocks away from his home. And as he rang the doorbell, he turned briefly to look into the storm. And his eye was caught by the shadow of a figure. And it was his father. He had followed his son's every step to make sure that he arrived safely to the friend's home. Church, in every storm of your life, in every situation and in every season of your life, you have a heavenly father that is watching over you. You have a heavenly father that is following you and is following every of our steps to make sure that we arrive safely to the destination that he has for us. In closing, and I'm going to ask the worship team to start coming. Church, God has bestowed his incredible love on you to adopt you as his son. To adopt you as his daughter. Do you know God as your father? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ not only as your savior, not only as your healer, and yes, he is all that. But can you also say to me this morning, he is my father. Knowing God as your father is going to bring great healing to your soul. It's going to bring freedom to your heart. And when God calls you my son and my daughter, can you say, Father, here I am. Here I am to receive your love. Here I am to receive your grace. Here I am to receive your forgiveness. Here I am to receive everything that you have for me as your son and your daughter. Can you call God as your father today?